because you're all educated Christians, you know that the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have an account of the institution of the Last Supper. The fourth Gospel, that of St. John, does not. John, of course, makes reference to the Last Supper, but he spends his time, his energy, his words on the foot washing. John, however, does deal with the Eucharist in the sixth chapter, which we have a little bit of today. Now, this Gospel also appears to us on the Feast of Corpus Christi. So it allows me an opportunity to take a little bit of a different tact on it. And today I want to talk about the sacraments in general and the Eucharist in particular, a good old-fashioned teaching sermon. You're all rubbing your hands together. Now, it's important that we understand the mechanics, as it were, of the sacraments, because there's a tendency that people have to go to one of two extremes. One extreme is to see the sacraments as magic, as hocus pocus. The other extreme is to strip them of all meaning and turn them into anemic memorials. That is why some churches, for instance, celebrate the Eucharist maybe four times a year, whether they need it or not. If it doesn't do anything, why bother doing it? Now, it's easy to see where the word sacrament comes from. Sacraments and sacred, they both flow from the same root. A sacrament is a sacred thing. And perhaps some of you will even recall the catechism definition of a sacrament. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. But what does that mean? How do we explain the mechanics of the sacraments in an intelligent and a down-to-earth way? I want you to consider a 40 or 60 watt light bulb. Any child will be able to tell you that the whole idea of a light bulb is to give light. And that same child will tell you that you can hold that light bulb in your hand all day long and it would never emit a single bleep. And you would ask, why not? And the answer would come back, because it's not attached to anything. In order for the bulb to do its job, to fulfill its purpose, which is to give light, it needs electricity and energy and power pouring into it. It needs a power from outside itself. And to carry the analogy a little bit further, you and I are like the light bulb. Our purpose, the reason that God created you and I, is to know God and to serve Him, to burn by the light of faith, and to burn in His service. But like the light bulb, we cannot fulfill this function by ourselves. We too need the help of an outside power. The bulb needs electricity. We need God's grace, which is just another way of saying that we need God's help, assistance, and aid. And what is our primary source of grace but the sacraments? And that is why we say that a sacrament is an outward sign which gives grace. Now, I want you to consider a light switch now. Remember that a sacrament is an outward sign. Suppose you're traveling, let's say, from Canada to Texarkana. And you go into a strange hotel room. And one of the things that bothers me about hotel rooms, apart from their awful beds, is the fact that you can never find a light switch. So you begin sort of putting your hand on the wall. And you grope along the wall, and you feel beneath your fingers a tiny switch. That switch is a sign of electricity. But it's only a sign. It's a sign that can be used to produce electricity. And that is why a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, which at the same time produces that grace. So the sacrament that we have in the gospel this morning is the sacrament of sacraments, the sacrament to which and from which all of the other sacraments flow, the body and blood of Christ. And many saints have said that there is enough grace in one communion to make us saints. Think about that. Think about what the divine power of Jesus coursing through you can do. The same Jesus who touched lepers' fingers, scaly stubs like rotting twigs, until they became whole and smooth and tinglingly alive. That same Christ who by word and gesture made the savage sea bearing its cruel teeth in an oncoming wave lie down like a drowsy dog before a winter fire. That same Christ who shot his power through bread when he multiplied it, on water when he transformed it, on sickness when he cured it, on the future when he foretold it, in death when he conquered it. So think for a moment, if you can, of the amazing grace that Jesus gives us in his body and blood at this altar this morning. Think of what that grace has done and can do in your life. Truly, it boggles the mind. Now, it's true that we cannot see the grace that we receive in Holy Communion. But you cannot see electricity either. You know, you can show me a city at night, and I can show you the effects of electricity. And I can show you a glittering litany of saints, of faithful Christians, who have lit up every age with a pyrotechnic flash. I can show you the effect of grace in people's lives. If you then went on to say, why doesn't Holy Communion have the same effect on me? Why don't I light up the world with God's brilliance? Why am I not on fire? I would suggest for a moment that we forget the light bulb, we forget the light switch, and we examine the wire that runs between those two things. If the wire is imperfect or worn or frayed, some of the current is going to flow off and the light in the bulb will be dim and misty. If, for instance, we were to receive the Blessed Sacrament with a careless attitude, or a dull disposition, or a casual approach, or with indifferent routine, then we are going to lose much of the grace that flows out of the sacrament. Fill me with grace, we say when we come to the altar rail, but we bring a thimble, when we should in fact bring a bucket. Because there is enough grace in one Holy Communion to make a saint. Dear Christian people, it's very good to understand the sacraments. It's good to understand what the Eucharist produces in our souls. But it's far better to make our communions with joyful and expectant hearts after careful preparation and sure and certain knowledge that God will so infuse ourselves, our souls, and bodies with his amazing grace that we will burn with unquenchable love for him. And that's why it's a law of the Church, a law that she pleads with us to obey, that we be at Mass every Sunday. We have it in the Gospel today. Unless, that's a condition, Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. In other words, you are spiritually dead. So think of your soul, that most precious possession that you have. Think of the grace that Jesus yearns to give you in his body and blood. The stairway to God is steep. Jesus warns us that it is not wide and easy, but rather narrow and difficult. And if we rely on ourselves, we will grow weak and we will grow weary. But there is a handrail all the way up, the sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ. We cling to that rail. We lean on that rail. We never let it go. And one day, we will triumphantly arrive at heaven's gate.